Greetings from Vrindavan. I returned from Govardhan a few days ago, and now I will be here in Vrindavan at least through the 4th or 5th of January. Many of you visited me. I'm now in my room by the grace of Giriraj Swami. Very nice cul-de-sac with many, many nice sadhus and sounds and birds of Vrindavan I could hear from my room. Just a little technical point. Generally asked to mute the phones unless someone is in a pretty quiet environment and no coughing or breathing into the phone, and we're a little careful. Therefore, I also have a sense of the audience, which is important to me in this type of lecture where I can't actually see the people and the their response. Now, I'm going to follow the same format, if possible, I always would like to start by sharing the realizations of others. I mentioned before the concept of sharing in Krishna consciousness, and this is one of the main ways to exchange love. Guyam Atyachi Aprichati, as Rupa Goswami says. Of course, I've just come back from a very wonderful and surcharged retreat with Bhuri Jam Prabhu, Satyanandana Maharaj, Jagatarini, Mata. And it was so easy for me to get so many realizations. By the way, I sent something around that should come out tomorrow or the next day, and that's pictures from the retreat, and especially download the picture of the drama that was done by the side of Govardhan Hill. It'll really give you a mood of what can be done when you have the right people, not only the right people, but the right atmosphere. And the nature of Vrindavan is that it facilitates the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Therefore, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says that Krishna is an expert judge of time, place, and circumstance. And the reference is given when Uddhava says to Krishna that you pick the full night moon of the Sharad season, which is the best time of the year, with the best people, which are the gopis of Vrindavan, to have the most wonderful activity, which is your Rasa Leela. So the circumstances are very, very nice. So you'll see that picture. Bhuri Jam Prabhu takes very wonderful pictures, and it'll give you a sense of that mood. It's right by the side of Govardhan Hill. The backdrop for the drama is that. So I one thing I would like to do is share the realizations of others, at least when I get that type of association. Because these realizations, they're like jewels in the hearts of the pure devotees. And by the proper approach to those devotees, which is the inquiry, submission, and service, even if it is your God brother, but if they have some jewel, by that proper mood, you can extract it. This is the real wealth of the Vaishnava, because we are happy or distressed simply by our level of realization. So the greatest gift, the greatest jewel, the greatest fruit one could get is realizations. And you get realizations from those people who have realizations because they're sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness under the guidance of Guru and Krishna. So I'll just share one. I also was trying to figure some kind of meditation, but another point I should mention. Initially, I thought I would start the other class on Sunday for those who couldn't attend on Wednesday, but people from Wednesday, they're so enthusiastic that many of them are attending on Sunday, which is great. But there may be a few things that are repeated, but the things that I repeated, I think, will be worth repeating. So this was won by Satchinandana Swami, and I want to connect it to something that, Bhurijam Prabhu said. Satchinandana Swami said, in guidebooks for sadhakas, there are things that are called padateeth. Pad means step, to move. So how you move, there's actually guidebooks. And in those guidebooks for sadhakas, inevitably what happens is one will first bring oneself in the presence of Guru, whether he's chanting his japa, or whether he's doing his deity worship, or whether he's approaching the Bhagavatam, or whether he's beginning parikram. In his mind, he'll put himself in the presence of a great spiritual personality. And there's actually a quote from the Shastra that simply by thinking of a great devotee, you get 1% of their religious merit. And then I told you, Satchinandana Swami gave a very nice practical example. He described of teenagers, how they keep in their room posters of the people that they want to emulate. And simply by remembering those people, they get a percentage of those people's qualities. Whether it's movie and rock stars, they'll get a percentage of those people's sex desire and their desire for ambition. So in spiritual life, this is actually one of the key points of spiritual practice. And even in any shastra or any book, one first begins by remembering the Supreme Lord, the Guru, and the Vaishnavas. Just by that fact that you're remembering someone greater, it puts one in the proper consciousness to actually receive their mercy, because the nature of mercy, it flows downwards to those in need. And unless you actually put someone above yourself and put yourself in a humble mood, you won't be able to experience that person. And in that regard, Bhurijam Prabhu, he did a very wonderful thing. I explained to you that Bhurijam Prabhu, I actually want to find something that, just give me a second. That Bhurijam Prabhu, what he would do at the retreats, he would play tapes of Srila Prabhupada. And in those places, it was almost like we were bringing Prabhupada to those holy places to instruct them. And Bhurijam, he made the point. He said, just look at, because he gave one slideshow where he did kirtan, and he kept on showing pictures of Prabhupada. And Bhurijam said, just look at his picture. And if you look at Prabhupada's pictures, there's one consistent point. Whenever you see Prabhupada, there's absolutely, and you can detect this, there's no movement in his personality from the shelter of Krishna. It's so pronounced. It's actually so startling to actually have the association or meditate on such a person. He's always intensely focused in dependence on Krishna. And because he is, because he's actually so focused on the shelter of Krishna. And when you take shelter of someone, what does it mean? Shelter is the place where you go to meet your basic needs. And I make this point again and again, that the most basic need is to love and to be loved. Actually, there's a quote that was given from Yajnavalkya, a very famous sage. He says, two things we want, everyone wants. We want to love and we want to be love. And shelter means to repose yourself, to depend on that place which is the worthy object of your love. And the worthy object of your love also can perfectly reciprocate your love. So we see, it's so clear how Prabhupada's movements, his actions, his mood represent that he does not move from that shelter. And therefore, he's so full of love, and this is the point Prabhupada made, that there's no deviation despite so much wealth, so much followers. You can imagine someone from India coming to Prabhupada said, the beautiful young American boys and girls, and so much wealth and so much prominence. But despite that, you couldn't detect in himself any movement from the shelter, which means the feeling of fullness from the service of Krishna. So that could be one meditation that we have today. I've wrote other things, but I think it's essential that I actually move on. I'm tempted again to read. I think I have to do this after speaking to Prabhupada, putting us in the association of Prabhupada. And I'm going to read again what I read on Sunday. This is Prabhupada. And I think if we listen to it, we'll feel that sense of his taking shelter. Prabhupada said, just like we are not living in Los Angeles, we are living in Vaikuntha. Yes, that's a fact. It is consciousness. Consciousness. I'll give you another example. Just like in this seat, there is a bug. But the bug and myself sitting on the same place. But because the bug has no consciousness, therefore he is bug. And I have got consciousness. Therefore, I am your spiritual master. For we are sitting in the same place. Sitting in the same place. Because the bug has not developed his consciousness, he remains a bug. And one who has developed the consciousness, therefore he becomes spiritual master. One more point, and then I'll go into the story that is right now also I've begun teaching again, and I'm teaching Bhakti Sandarbha. This is very relevant to our study of the Bhagavatam. And in Bhakti Sandarbha, I'm up to the point where it discusses Rag Bhakti. There's two types of bhakti. Bhakti means that you turn your consciousness towards Krishna. And that's the method of revealing the absolute reality. And when the absolute reality is revealed, then you achieve the goal of life, which is to experience the absolute reality. And as we have a relationship with the absolute reality, the attraction or experience between two beings who have a relationship is called love or prema. So that's actually the goal of life. So bhakti means to turn the consciousness towards Krishna. And because we have a relationship with Krishna, the more we turn our consciousness towards Krishna, the more we will gain attraction for Krishna. Now there's two ways to turn the consciousness towards Krishna. One is from the head, because you understand you should turn your consciousness to Krishna, because it is a rule or injunction or a duty that we should turn our consciousness to Krishna. And one is we turn our consciousness towards Krishna because we have a natural liking for Krishna. Attachment or liking is called rag. So when we actually turn our consciousness towards Krishna spontaneously, because we have a liking or attraction, it's a much more powerful absorption in Krishna. Because we are more absorbed in things that we like to do. So it's a very, very nice description. And it describes a relationship with the Bhagavatam, which I'm going to read, that one of the ways that this liking comes to us is that as we advance in Krishna consciousness, our heart becomes cleansed. This is called, especially by chanting the holy name, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. It means that the heart is like a mirror, and it becomes cleansed. And when it becomes cleansed, it can reflect things. When our heart can properly reflect things, within our heart, we actually see reflected the Supreme Personality of God at whom we have a relationship with. And we actually see within the chitta, our heart, our own consciousness reflected. There's actually 8 material elements, but there's subtly a 9th, which is the template for all consciousness. And the template for all consciousness is actually called the heart or the chitta. And when that heart or chitta is cleansed, we can see through it the spiritual world. So as we become a little purified and we hear the Bhagavatam in the proper way, then what happens is I'll get it back in a second. Yes, in other words, when your heart starts to become a little bit cleansed, and I feel that the people who are enthusiastic enough to register for these conferences and regularly come, it means that they are developing a taste or interest for Krishna. That's a result of the heart becoming somewhat cleansed. And when you have that interest for Krishna, then even though that your eternal relationship with Krishna has not yet arisen in your heart will be able to reflect that mood when you hear it in the Bhagavatam. In other words, the Bhagavatam is about what? It's about what's called ragatmaka bhakti, bhaktis. What does ragatmaka bhaktis mean? Raga means attachment. Atmaka means in their heart. There comes a point in Krishna consciousness, the perfected state, where there is no difference, basically, between the love you have for Krishna, your desire to please Krishna, and your consciousness. Therefore, raga also means color. I was giving class yesterday, and I had this red bag for my kartals. And I was pointing it up that because the red color is non-different from the cloth, I was pointing that up. That's the consciousness of the perfected souls. The consciousness of the perfected souls, that red color indicates that it's symbolic of their passion for Krishna, their desire to serve Krishna. So that red bag, that color is non-different from the bag, and similarly, our passion or desire to serve Krishna will not be non-different from our consciousness. And that's what the Bhagavatam is. When you hear the Bhagavatam, you'll be hearing about personalities whose love for Krishna is so deep that it is no different from their consciousness. So when you develop an interest for that, then, and you hear from that, then there's a sense that their absorbed, pure devotion, their love for Krishna, begins to become reflected in your heart. And that's actually the process of hearing the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada's focus is that our consciousness would be prepared to actually reflect that in the proper way by being free from misconceptions and attachments, so that we can actually begin to have an interest in that subject. And just that interest or taste will allow us to reflect something and increase the devotion in our heart until our turning towards Krishna will no longer be just because it's an injunction or rule, because I should do it, but because I actually like Krishna. And when that point happens, when we start executing devotional service because we actually like Krishna, then it's marked immediately by an increase of taste in the heart. And the increase in taste in the heart means an increase in taste for chanting and hearing. There is no difference in the taste we have for chanting and hearing in our bhakti. So when this taste increases in the heart, it brings detachment, and a person becomes absorbed in happiness in remembering the Lord's lotus feet, and his miseries of life are quickly dispelled. So this is actually the process, and that's why it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam itself, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya. A Bhagavad Uttama Shloka, Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki, that when one actually starts to become fixed in this process, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, when he's serving the Bhagavat regularly every day, which also means hearing from them. Because to serve the devotees, there's two types of service. There's Prashnena, which means to hear, and Paricharya, to serve. When we're regularly serving, then Nashta Prayeshu Abhadra, which was inauspicious, goes from the heart. So this is actually the process. Now I will begin today's verse, and we'll do some of this Bhagavad Gita, not just talk about doing Bhagavad Gita. Om Namo, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, Text 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Idyadishta Bhagavata Gatvaya Chantate Tita Hitanjali Tavipram Dandavat Patita Bhuvi. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cowherd boys went there and submitted their request. They stood before the Brahmins with palms joined in supplication, and they fell flat on the ground to offer respects. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Dhananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapisam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Pidamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Adadanastinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Rasam Payatnai Apayam Mam Manadipsamandam Kripambhurya Paraduka Dhuki Sanatanastam Prabhamasrayami Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Vyadvaita Gadadhar Sivasade Ghor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'll get us up to date on the story, okay? We still have 20-25 minutes. So the cowherd boys, the story begins, they're harassed by hunger, and they want Krishna to do something about it, and they address him as chastiser of the wicked, meaning that if you're really the chastiser of the wicked or the enemies, the greatest enemy is hunger. And if one could actually kill hunger, if one could actually kill the wants and needs in one's heart, he is the greatest hero. But now an interesting point comes, I didn't bring this up. The cowherd boys, the Bhagavatam is about rasa. Rasa means the exact opposite of selfishness. Rasa means the heightened love for Krishna that absorbs the consciousness. And the whole nature of Vrindavan is everyone is thinking about the pleasure of Krishna, because that's their natural sarup, that's their natural identity. Their dharma, their whole essence, the quality that cannot be separated from their being, is that they're part of Krishna, and they're meant to love him. And in loving Krishna, they're also meant to enjoy the highest happiness, which is love for Krishna. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. It's an unlimited ocean of happiness, Krishna consciousness. Although the jiva is infinitesimal, the size of an entity does not inhibit it, his ability to experience love and therefore experience pleasure. And therefore, although the devotee has no desire for personal pleasure, which invokes the lovers in his heart, because love is pleasure, the devotee enjoys on the same level as Krishna. But now here is the question. They're saying, we are hungry. So if they have so much love for Krishna, why are they talking about themselves, and why are they demanding, oh, Krishna, you should do something about it? Of course, if I had the class and I saw you, you know, I can get some answers, but that's not practical here. So I'll tell you, when they're saying that we are hungry, they know that Krishna also is very, very humble. And sometimes if you ask someone, Prabhu, would you like to eat something? It's almost embarrassing to say, oh, yes, yes, please, immediately give me food. It's just like when someone is serving you. I also follow this, but I would very rarely myself ask for something to eat when people are serving. It's just not the proper mood but therefore, the person who's the host, he asks you and he serves you. So when they're asking, saying, we are hungry, they're actually, out of love for Krishna, asking, basically, they're thinking, well, maybe Krishna's hungry. But if we ask him, Krishna, do you want some food? As a cultured person, Krishna will say, oh, no, 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 no. If you see a cultured person, you'll practically have to be forced to eat. So therefore, out of love for Krishna, they're saying, we are hungry. And then Krishna, because he was asked by the cowherd boys, and the word was given to Sidam, Bhaktya, because Krishna's nature, he's always desiring to serve his devotees. That is the reason why Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan because he is bound or arrested. Everybody can hear still?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Krishna is bound by the devotee's love. The word actually in the Bhagavatam means is he's actually arrested. He can't move. That's the nature of personality. If Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the supremacy of personality is that a supreme person is a loving person. And a loving person reciprocates love. A loving person cannot help but reciprocate love. And therefore, a loving person is bound or controlled by love. If Krishna's supremacy was that he cannot be controlled by love, it would be a contradiction because his supremacy would be impersonality. So Krishna, this is the secret. I mentioned this before, that Uddhava mentions, that Krishna says, I'm going to tell you, Uddhava, the paramaguyam, the topmost secret. And what is that topmost secret? The topmost secret is, if you want bhakti, you have to go to the sadhu. Because if you want Krishna, you have to go to the sadhu, because the sadhu is controlled by the love. Krishna is controlled by the love of the sadhu. I mentioned that before in the the story of Raghunath Das Goswami, although he had so many qualifications and he was so even attached to the holy name, the association of Haridas Thakur, hankering for Krishna, for so many years, I think it was 8 years, he couldn't get the direct association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's only when in his mind he said, let me go to Lord Nityananda. And then when he finally went to Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda looked at him and said, you are a thief. In a joking and loving way. But one of the reasons he called him a thief is why? Because Krishna belongs to the property. Krishna is the property of the devotee. And he was trying to get the property, he's trying to get Krishna, which is the property of the devotee, without going to the devotee. He was trying to, so when he finally went to Nityananda, then he got the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna, desiring to please his devotees, the cowherd boys, and also desiring to please the Brahmin's wives who are lamenting in separation. So Krishna asked them to go to a sacrificial arena where there's a group of Brahmins who are learned in the Vedic junctions, and they're performing these yajnas. So here, the theme of this story is going to be so nicely presented. These are Brahmins learned in Vedic junctions. But although they're learned in Vedic junctions, they're not actually becoming spiritual. Why? Because spiritual means unless one is a humble devotee, a servant, then everything you get will simply increase your ego and your selfishness. So even though they're learned, and later we'll see in so many qualities in the Vedic injunctions, the whole purpose of this story, which is a precursor, because it's already chapter 23, and we're soon going to go into the chapters that discuss Krishna and the gopis, so it's giving us the final subtle qualifications, the final subtle tunings of our frame of reference so we can actually understand the highest manifestation of the absolute truth. And this is a very, 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 very subtle point that unless one, that if one has tremendous material qualification, even so-called spiritual attributes, if he's not a devotee, if he's not humble, they'll simply increase his ego. So Krishna then tells the cowherd boys, and we'll soon get up to this verse, when you go there, my cowherd boys, request some food. Declare to them, Kirtiyanto Bhagavata, declare to them by name. Actually test them. They're so-called Brahmins, they're so learned. If they're so-called Brahmins and so-called learned, see how they respond to the holy name of Krishna. This is actually the test of one's spiritual elevation. The test of spiritual elevation is your taste for Krishna, and specifically your taste for the holy name of Krishna. So these Brahmins are actually going to be tested. That should we emulate these Brahmins? The whole way that one advances, and this goes back to my previous point, the main way that one advances is by significant others or role models in his life. That's why, again, when Satchinanda said in Guidebooks of Sadhu, one brings, the first thing, he puts himself in the presence of saintly persons. Because even in the material world, you look at a child, the main way that child is going to inculcate the proper values is if he has an exemplar of those values in his life, who's not only an exemplar for those values, but is affectionate to him, which opens his heart to receive those values. So this whole story is to show, and this is so common in the Vedic society, the Brahmins are meant to be the exemplars. That the whole society, the whole Vedic society is providing two exemplars. The Brahmins the Brahmins who are supposed to be simple and renounced. They're on the top of society. And the whole duty of a Brahmin, his whole work, is simply to exhibit qualities that others can follow and qualities that will enable him to be a receptacle for knowledge. Therefore, when Prabhupada was talking about Varnashram, and he said, how should the Brahmins be trained? Prabhupada simply quoted Bhagavad Gita, Shamo Damas Dapo Saucham Shankir Arjivam Avaja Jnanam Vijnanam Astikam Brahma Karma Swabhavajam. Karma Swabhavajam, Karma Swabhav, the work of the Brahman is the Swabhav, or the exhibiting of certain qualities that others can exemplify. But the nature of hierarchy is that if you're in a hierarchical position, the tendency is to become corrupted and exploitive. And when that happens, the people follow the wrong exemplars and they develop the wrong qualities. So as we're approaching the highest truth, Krishna is making this point. Our exemplars, the people we want to follow, are not just the people in position, but the people who are moved by the holy name of Krishna. And these Brahmins, although they are Brahma Vadina, follows of the injunctions of the Vedas, because they're not humble and they're developing the abhiman or ego that I am Brahman, I am the top of society. Although Krishna says, you go there, test them, declare to them the name of my brother and my name, and then explain what happens, and you'll see what happens. Iti yadishta bhagavata, the today's verse, thus instructed by the personality of Godhead, the cowherd boys went there and submitted their request. They stood before the Brahmins with palms joined in supplication, and they fell flat on the ground to offer respect. So it's very interesting that these cowherd boys, out of love for Krishna, they're actually begging food. Of course, they said, we're hungry. But their real desire is, let me get something nice for Krishna. And therefore, Krishna is telling them, don't be embarrassed. Go out there, please, on my behalf, make this request. And therefore, they're standing before the Brahmins, and their hands are joined in supplication, and they fall on the ground to offer respect. They're putting themselves in the form of need. Actually, it's very, I mentioned this point, that the body follows the mind. And therefore, until one is, and this is mentioned in Bhakti Sandarbha, until one has really accomplished himself in chanting the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna, and his heart has become sufficiently purified of loya or ignorance or sleep, vikshepa or distraction or passion, kshaya or mundane desires, and rasavad, you know, material taste. If he tries to execute the process of Krishna consciousness exclusively by smaran, he will not be able to. Because the mind, unless it's purified of these things, will follow the body. I told you about this experiment. I can't remember what I was repeating one class or another, but it's interesting. They did an experiment where they did a psychological experiment, and they had some people fold their hands and bow their head, and they had other people hold their head very high and puff their chest out. And then they did a controlled experiment, and they found out that the mood of humility was much more pronounced in those who were putting the bodily movements of humility. When you put your hands together, it literally means that these hands are for you. When you actually fall flat on the ground to offer respect, it actually means I am inferior to you. So here they want something which they're not going to pay for. And therefore, they're putting themselves in the actions and consciousness of humility and need. Because when there's humility and need, you can attract mercy. You not only can attract mercy, but you can actually appreciate mercy. So Kritanjali Puta, they're putting their hands in this way. And they can appreciate mercy. Whole platform of our practice in spiritual life, I mentioned this before, but I think it could be repeated, that when one is humble, he doesn't think himself unnecessarily deserving. He can appreciate mercy. If you think you're proud and you think you are deserving, then the same thing will come to you, but you won't experience it you won't experience it as mercy. And if you don't experience it as mercy, there's very little chance that you will feel affection or love for the person who gave that to you. So in spiritual life, it's so important to be in that, not only in the humble state of mind, but the culture of humility. There's one sadhu in Vrindavan. He's very, very humble. And he comes here and he has these deities of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They're actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Radha Madhava deities. And he puts them on the altar of the Krishna Balaram Mandir every Kartik. And when you meet this person, he's very, very humble, and he's very, very senior. But if you're talking to him, he's constantly circling around you because he will not even step on your shadow. He has the actions of humility and the mood of humility, and therefore he's experiencing mercy, and you can see it. When you're experiencing mercy, you're experiencing love. And this is the secret of Krishna consciousness. Now the Cowherd boys, they're going to address these Cowherd boys, they're going to address I know it's 10 o'clock there. I'm going to go on for another 10 minutes. So those who staying up late will ruin your life. You could go, but I have to continue. It's such a short time and such a distance. By the time I feel I warm up the audience or myself, I get into it, it's almost over. But somehow, by Krishna's grace, I've been getting a lot of good feedback that people are appreciating. Hey, Bhumi Deva Shrinuta Krishna Sya Desha Karina Saptam Janita Bhadrambo Gopano Ramachoditan. The Cowherd boy said, love, because they're always experiencing Krishna, and they're always experiencing their relationship with Krishna, and everything they do is born from their bhava or devotion to Krishna. Therefore, O earthly gods, please hear us. So now they want mercy, so they're telling the Brahmins, we're going to appreciate what you give because who you are is so high. O earthly gods, please hear us. We Cowherd boys are executing the orders of Krishna, and we have been sent here by Balaram. We wish all good for you. Please acknowledge our arrival. So Krishnasya, Krishna mentioned first the idea that Krishna is actually the original, so his name is first, and that they're sent by Krishna, and then they say by Ram, and Bhadram, hey, this is auspicious. The most auspicious thing is when someone comes and offers you the service of Krishna. Actually, the most wonderful thing is the service of Krishna. Because that is actually the position of the soul. And only when one is at the position of the soul can he be satisfied. There's a basic psychological principle of satisfaction that there has to be congruence between what you're doing and what you are. We are souls, and souls are meant to love and serve. So when someone is actually offering you that service, and an intelligent person, he's always asking for service. I remember I told the story when Radhanath Swami, after 10 years, the first time he came back from to Vrindavan after he left when he was originally here, and the first person he saw was me. And I remember he folded his hands, he bowed his head, and he said, "Do you have any service?" One day we were doing kirtan in Mankutir, and there's this Baba there. And he's a famous Baba. He's also the Baba who Radhanath Swami lived with. And somehow or other, his assistants were very enthusiastic. We were just doing kirtan there, and it was midday. And in India, you don't bother people after 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. They're either taking lunch or resting. But somehow his servant, I think he didn't even tell him, called us up and said, "The Baba wants to meet you." And when we walked in his room, he was sitting on his bed eating. I remember he was taking some soup. And I remember the first thing he said to us when he looked at us, he said, "Is there any service, do you have any service for me?" Actually, when, "If you have any service for me." So they say, "We wish good for you," because why? "We're going to engage you in Krishna's service." And he says, "Earthly gods," meaning, again, your earthly gods, it means the Brahmins, the Mo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahman Hitaya, Chakshat Hitaya Krishna Go. They're supposed, they're the most dear to Krishna. Why? Because this whole world is about education. There's no other purpose in this world but for us to get transcendental knowledge and educated in spiritual life. Everything is for that purpose. So the people who are in the position of teacher, they're the most important people in society. In a proper society, the Brahmins, the teachers, are the most respected. And again, Brahmin really means the person who has studies of Shamodamastapo, that he's peaceful, tolerant, self-controlled, religious. It means that he can be a student. And when one can be a student, he can be a teacher. And the same qualities are required for both. Because no one, you can't receive knowledge unless you're a student. And unless you have the qualities of a student, which you're tolerant, peaceful, self-control, why should people have faith that you have knowledge? So the Brahmins are most dear to Krishna because they're the people that are spending their whole lives cultivating the qualities that enable them to be receptacles for knowledge and to disseminate knowledge. And therefore, in the Bhagavatam, there's that verse, "Acharya mam bijanayam navamanyeta karicha." We should worship the Acharya as Krishna says himself. We should worship the Acharya as my very self. And why does he say, and in the commentary, Jiva Goswami reveals, when he says, "Worship the Acharya as my very self," he's not yet getting to the point of spiritual master, what to speak. Later comes the point in his commentary, what to speak of the spiritual man. It means a teacher. It means a parent who is following the principles of morality and truth that are universal principles and disseminating to their child. It means a teacher who is teaching ordinary knowledge to enable one to function in the world. Anyone that represents knowledge that assists one on his journey to actually cultivate spiritual knowledge, but even the material knowledge that's related to that, Krishna says, "You should worship him as my very self." Why? Because it's presenting more, not just the nature of the Acharya, but because it is good for us to give ourselves to others when those persons are actually a proper representative of knowledge and have the ability to kindly bestow that knowledge on us. But it's for us. Because the whole platform of spiritual life is developing the heart so that one can give oneself to Krishna and the devotees. And therefore, because in the material world, we don't come to take the position of servant. In fact, we hate it. And we hate the people that represent authority. Therefore, he says, nava manyeta kar, do not envy him in any way. So even 5,000 years ago when the Bhagavatam was written, the warning is there. This consciousness will be there to envy the Acharya and envy those people who are representing Krishna. And therefore, this was also quoted in the class from Dante's Inferno. Satan said, it's a very famous statement, he said, this is the mood of Satan, better to burn in hell than serve in heaven. And actually, the mood of service brings us to the transcendental platform. But I can say for myself, right now, unfortunately, I'd rather burn in hell. And what is burning in hell? Burning in hell is nothing but material desires. In the verse, Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam, the second treasure of the holy name, is that it frees one, Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam, Bhava, the material world, from the forest fire of the material world. It saves one. It delivers one from the forest fire of the material world. I think I told this story once before, but not everyone heard, and it's such a relevant story that what is this that you better to burn in hell? What is actually burning in hell? So the story was of the nice disciple, and the guru told him, my dear disciple, please bring me some fire. We have to start the morning Agni Hotra. Please bring me some fire. So the disciple went around, but it had rained. He could not find any wood for the fire yagya. So he came back to his guru and he said, my dear guru, I could not find any fire. Guru was so heavy and so angry. And he looked at that disciple. He said, you can't find fire? Then go to hell. The disciple thought, my guru is very merciful. Because everyone is burning in hell. So there I can get fire. So the disciple goes to the court of Yamaraj. And he sees everyone burning. So much fire, people just burning. And he goes to Yamaraj. And he says to Yamaraj, can I have some fire? And Yamaraj says, there's no fire here. And he looked at Yamaraj. He said, what do you mean? He said, look at all those people burning. He said, oh, they brought their own fire. So what is their own fire? Their own fire is the burning, it's the lust and material desires that come from the heart. And therefore, spiritual life begins with giving ourselves to others. And that's the whole training, as say, the Acharya. So earthly gods, respecting them, but actually the story will be that the Brahmins are supposed to represent the will of God. But these Brahmins, by their position, by their non-devotion, they're not actually representing that. So let me just do one more verse. I really want to keep this thing on time because I realize, I mean, especially people working, they have to keep good schedules. I can't. One more verse because it's a very beautiful verse. Kastanantya yabidura odhanam vamachuta vo lashito babukshito tayodvija odhanam Artino yadi shradhatayo yachiti dharma vitava. So this is the cowherd boy saying, Lord Ram and Lord Achyuta are tending the cows not far from here. Now, if you're a devotee, if you're a spiritual person and someone comes to you and says that Lord Krishna and Lord Ram are tending the cows not far from here, you will faint out of ecstasy. Because when eventually Krishna sends them back to the Brahmin's wives, we'll see the contrast. As soon as he tells the Brahmin's wives that Krishna and Balaram are not far from here, they faint immediately because they have that deep affection for Krishna. And knowing that Krishna is nearby, the whole sense of rag or attachment the two sins, the bhag or attachment, whether it's material or spiritual, is one, you want to attain the object of your attachment, and you want to serve the object of your attachment. These are the two symptoms. So look at these Brahmins. Actually, they're worshipping Yajnavai Vishnu, but they can't see the forest through the trees. Lord Ram and Lord Krishna are tending the cows. They are hungry and want you to give them some of your food, but they're actually expressing need. The whole nature of Krishna is that he expresses need and actually feels that he has need so that he can receive our love. Therefore, it's mentioned that if someone is a Krishna Bhakta and he's worshiping the Supreme Lord in the fire, he should not see that it's Krishna in the fire. He should see it's the Paramatma. Because if he's a real devotee of Krishna and he sees that it's Krishna in the fire, he will immediately think, Krishna, my Lord, will burn to death. So Krishna actually comes like us for the purpose of intimacy and love and for the purpose of giving himself fully. So he's telling them they're not only nearby, but they're hungry and they want to get, and they want you to give them some your food. They want to give you service, but no, you rather burn in hell than serve in heaven. This is what's happening to the Brahmins when they're not devotees. Therefore, O Brahmins, O best of the knowers of religion, if you have faith, give them some food. There's no response. If you have some shraddha, if you have some experience of Krishna in your heart, some attraction for Krishna, oh, dvija. Now, this word dvija, it's very interesting. Dvija means, dvi means two, and ja means born. So Brahmins are called twice born. But if you are a Brahmin in name, but not a Brahmin in qualities, then you are dvija. Dvija means what? Ja born, and dvi means two. Rather than being twice born, you are just born of two parents. Twice born is so exalted, only some in society can be twice born, but anybody can be born from two parents. So now the coward boys, out of love for Krishna, they're getting a little sarcastic. We're asking you, Krishna's right there, we want to give you something, he's asking you for service, O Brahmanas, O Dvija, O those who are born from two parents, Dharma, Vittama, sarcastically, Dharma Vikana, O best knowers of the principles of religion, this is your position. So now it's continuing. So we see how these Brahmins are being presented in their ignorance. Although they have the position, although they have the samskaras, although they're austere, although they're clean, although they're learned, but all those qualities are only meant to be used in service. And if they're not used in service, if they're used in your own motive, rather than making you go up, they make you go down. Anyway, I've gone on too long already. So thank you today. Please excuse me. I'm just trying to get the hang of these classes, how to do them in the proper way. Thank you so much. Vanshakalpa Tarubya Sha.